thank God. You may be seated. You guys have... Thank you, team. Now, grace is receiving what we do not deserve. It's also not receiving what we do deserve. And have you ever heard someone, maybe one of you in here before said this, man, I can't go to church. I go to church, either one, lightning's going to hit me, or God's going to, I'm going to burst into flames. Did anyone ever think that? All right. Well, did it happen? No, because of grace. Maybe it deserved it, but well, I heard people say, well, there's no way God can forgive me for all the things I've done. You just don't know God. And you don't know how deep and powerful that grace is. So that is what we stand upon here is the grace of God. His will is to forgive all. No one should perish in the judgment. But there is a judgment coming. This is what we need to warn people about. And we've had the church age. Somewhere, the Bible tells us, somewhere in that church age, the church age will come to an end. And there's a judgment coming. And the church was established to warn people and share the truth. It's not here to gain power, as many churches or certain denominations in church history. And not all denominations have been really the true church. A lot of masquerading. Some churches have tried to, denominations have tried to gain power over people. Even countries and world leaders. Church is not about power, control. Some churches want all, it's about prosperity. We're going to see that a little bit today. It's not about prosperity either. It's about one thing and one thing only. That we were once beggars that found the bread. And we're telling other people who are beggars in the world where to find bread. And that bread is in Jesus Christ. He is the bread that came down from heaven. And everyone needs a Savior. Everyone needs to be forgiven of their sins. So, usually at the beginning of each new year, we kind of do a prophecy update to kind of look at what the Bible says, where we are in God's timeline. And the Bible gives us all these signs and descriptions of where we, you know, when you start seeing these things, know that time is near. And so we've been doing a prophecy update and extended a little more because so much is happening, so much is going on. So it's lasted more than just the first one or two Sundays of this year. And now we're on part five. But we looked at Israel, the nation, the Jewish people, what God says about that. We've looked at the sinfulness in the church. And the Bible warns us that the church towards the end of the church age will be in serious bad shape. And that's what we're looking at today. So I'm going to be going over some things that about some of the things happening in the churches. And you might have a background in some of these false churches. You might have been affected by some of these false teachings. But the Bible tells us to expose everything, especially inside the churches. And because the church towards the end will become very corrupt. And so if I say something that you've been a part of or maybe you even believe in, do not get offended. But listen to what the Word of God says, or the lack of what the Word of God says. Because a lot of things we're going to see today are not in the Bible. The churches are doing them. So, where we started last week was the sinfulness in the church. And there's a lot of sin in the church, folks. We want sinners to come in, and we're still sinners. No one's perfect in here, but we're under the grace of God. And because of we've been born again, now we want to sin a lot less than what we used to. Right, Floyd? Floyd's always saying that. Always. But today, when we sin, we regret it. We should immediately turn to God and say, God, I am sorry because you died for sin, my sin, and I don't want to keep in doing sin. But today in the church, we have churches, whole churches that are embracing sin and pastors who are embracing sin and falling from their position. And it's gotten so ugly and nasty in churches. Next slide, Levi. Here's an article from the New York Times. I could not believe this article. A Baptist minister and a Presbyterian pastor walking through and blessing an abortion clinic. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 6, God hates. Yes, he hates and he finds it an abomination to him, those who shed innocent blood. And here we got two pastors blessing an abortion clinic. This is the condition of the church today. We looked at the denying of the Bible as the true word of God. Now, many churches scoff at this. There's many scoffers, and they believe all sorts of bad things about this, and they don't believe this at all, or they just believe sections, and they cherry pick what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. And so we stop listening to the word of God, but the word of God is what sanctifies the believer, the disciple. So we got that in the church, rampant. False gospels in the church, seeker sensitive, where you make church all about entertainment. It's more like going to a Broadway show, emotional experience, concert conditions, make me feel good about myself. Well, remember what the word of God, Apostle Paul, told the young pastor Timothy? There's three things you must do for your congregation when you teach the word of God. Convince them of the truth. Rebuke them where they come against it or they're wrong. And exhort. It's not just about lifting us up constantly and making us feel good. We need to learn. We need to better ourselves as believers. But they're never going to say anything negative, so a lot of people seek that because it's really good for them to be entertained. Then we got the false gospel in the church, the prosperity word of faith movement. We're going to see a little bit of that today, where God, you come to God so He fixes all your problems and He makes you wealthy and healthy. Word of faith that we have God-like, divine-like attributes as humans, where we can speak things into existence. If you speak it, you name it, you claim it, it's yours. You can manifest. It's called the word of faith. Again, not in Scripture at all. False gospels in the church, the social gospel. Or the church needs to fix all the social issues. But what causes all the problems in society? Sin. The sinful human heart causes all the problems in the world. There's only one cure for that. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the Great Commission. That's why the church exists, to bring the gospel, because people need to be saved, they need to be forgiven, because there is a judgment coming. All people are going to be accountable to their Creator. But God wants to redeem you. He wants to show grace. All these false gospels. Now, Galatians 1:8 says this, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, there is only one gospel laid out in Scripture. If anyone preaches any other gospel, they change it, they morph it, they corrupt it, then what the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and Jesus preach to you, let him be accursed. That's how serious God takes the gospel. And that's what we must point out, because people are being led astray by false gospels. Then we looked at the New Age cult practices in the church. Yes, the Bible teaches us that doctrines of demons will come into the church. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, the end days, some will depart from the faith, the truth of the Word of God, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Spiritual realm is real. Spiritual warfare is real. There are real demons. And there is a real Satan, devil. So doctrines of demons. One of them is necromancy, the practice of communicating with the dead to gain knowledge or power. Seeking dead people, their spirits, right? We see that in the cult, we see that all over, but in the church. Oh, yeah. All right. Next slide. Here are Bethel students at the Supernatural School of Ministry, yes, across town. Laying on the graves of dead people trying to get their power, their anointing. Next slide, there we go. Yep, next slide, that is Bill Johnson, the senior pastor over at Bethel. This is doctrines of demons. Nowhere in Scripture do you find grave soaking. New Age occult practices, channeling of spirits. Spirits are real, demons are real, people can be possessed, and demons can be channeled, this power. Now, what they call it in the churches is they say this is the Holy Spirit, but it's not in Scripture anywhere, where they can channel, they can direct the anointing, their power. Christianity is not becoming power. It's about becoming a humble servant before people, esteeming others better than yourself. We're here to serve one another, not gain power. But the channeling of spirits is what they're doing over there. And this is all over the world because of Bethel. I'll show you that here by the end. But I want to show you a small clip. I showed you the whole clip last week. I'm only going to show you part of it. Play it.
Abba! Fire! Place it on another one's head. Fire. Legacy. Legacy.
So she has channeled spirits into that, claiming it's the Holy Spirit. But in Scripture, the only time someone is out of control and they're moving around are people who are possessed of demons, and say, Jesus or one of the apostles is about to cast them out. That's Heidi Baker over at Bethel. Now, why I'm showing you this, it's not in Scripture, that's for sure. Channeling of spirits, the anointing. But this is right out of New Age Hinduism and Hinduism, period. Let me show you. This is a Hindu master. Go ahead. This is called the Kundalini Awakening. And you can Google this, and there's a ton of this on YouTube. It's called the snake spirit in Hinduism. It's a snake. It was represented by a snake that's usually wrapped around the base of your spinal cord. And you want to release this Kundalini spirit in your life. And then you can have balance, and you're healthy and wealthy and one with the universe and all this stuff. In Hinduism, those are the chakras, the spiritual entry points. Energy, negative energy can be released. You can receive positive energy from the universe and from the Kundalini spirit. This is doctrines of demons. This is not of God. This is false religion. But this has even crept not only into the church, which I'm going to show you. This has crept into the medical field. I find this fascinating. The next slide, Levi. All right, Dignity Health, this is from their website. What is holistic health care? Have you guys been hearing about holistic health care? You guys know about it? Let me give you a little insight to holistic health care. Now, bring up the next slide. I know this is going to be hard for you to read, hopefully. So holistic means it takes part of the care, the medical care, comes from Eastern-inspired practices. Eastern meaning the Far East, right? Holistic care integrates Eastern. It's not strictly Eastern, but it does integrate Eastern practices. Down the bottom it says, holistic health is about caring for the whole person, physical, mental, and spiritual. When did medicine, Dignity Health, hospitals start worrying about the spiritual? It's usually just the physical, right? Now, if you go to a spa, you might be introduced to this stuff. Next slide there. Yeah, Levi, thank you. Spa experience. Reiki for holistic wellness. Now, what is Reiki? Next slide. Reiki, a widely used energy healing technique, was said to have been developed by a Buddhist monk. Now, what you understand about the Buddhist, Buddha himself was a Hindu. Buddha came out of the Hinduism because he didn't like the caste system found in Hinduism, where people are on certain levels and you just can't get out of those levels. The caste system. He didn't like that. So he broke out of Hinduism and he created his own teachings. Now that the world knows the teachings of the Buddha. But it's still very similar in many ways to Hinduism. He didn't forsake all of Hinduism. And so this energy healing, and that's the whole thing they have, is energy, the universe is energy, and getting in tune with the universe. It's the flow of life force energy. This is what Reiki is. It's this technique to gain power. But it's not just in the medical field or in the spa, but in the massage therapy. Now, massages in general, if you're just, you know, have sore muscles and someone gives you a massage, that's not evil. But what you need to understand is where massage therapy originated from, and it came out of India, okay? And it's the sacred practice that comes from the Far East, and it's part of their holistic system of body, mind, and soul. Again, bringing the health, not just the physical health of the body, but all of it together. And next slide there. And far, it's this ancient Indian medical system and its holistic approach. All right. The Ayurvedic. Now, I'd never heard of it before this research, but it's well planted. And what you do is when you continue to look at this connection here, Reiki, go to the next slide, Lara. Reiki, like I said, is a healing technique from the Buddhist monk, the flow of life force energy. Throughout the body, these obstructions are allegedly caused by negative thoughts. Remember, in the Buddhist and in the Hindu, especially in the Buddhist, you want to keep your karma pure. You don't want to think negative thoughts. Negative thoughts are toxic thoughts. And you want to keep your karma and your heart and your mind pure of negative thoughts. You don't want people sending negative thoughts to you. Have you ever heard somebody, maybe even in church, say, "Speak words of life to me"? Anybody ever heard that? Okay, that's coming from this. We can't speak words of life. Now, if they're saying just be nice and say nice things, well, yeah, but no one can speak anything negative into your life or positive. We're not gods. We're not God. God can speak things and comes into existence, but not us. But no. See, they teach this in this therapy. And you want to stay away from negative things or negative people, which some believe are the fundamental cause of illness. Now, toxic thoughts, negative thought healings. I want to show you how this slowly and by the back door creeps into the church. This Reiki, this teachings of the Buddha, have replaced the teachings of Jesus. So, play the next video.
Hello, I'm Pat Gaudette. The book is How to Heal Toxic Thoughts, Simple Tools for Personal Transformation, and it's written by Sandra Ingerman, who is the author of Soul Retrieval. She's also a shaman. She teaches workshops on shamanism around the world and is a licensed marriage and family therapist and professional mental health counselor in New Mexico. Now, the book is...
Now, that's somebody I want to take my family for counseling to. Shamanism, spiritual practice of connecting with the spirit world, dead people through altered states of consciousness. Toxic thoughts. This is the teachings of the Buddha coming right out of Hinduism. Play next slide.
When we go around dwelling on the wrong thoughts, thinking about what we can't do, how somebody hurt us, how we'll never rise any higher, those thoughts are toxic thoughts. And toxic thoughts, left alone, will become like toxic waste that can eventually contaminate our whole life. It affects.
Click. He goes on, the whole thing. He never points people to Jesus. He uses one verse that says, "Guard your heart." But then he says, guard your heart. Then he brings it to the mind. You have to guard your mind. The mind and the heart are two different things in Scripture. So he takes one Scripture to give it some Christian look or sound. But then he uses the verse out of context and he switches the two, heart and mind, up. He tells people they need to detox their mind. They need to get rid of negative thoughts. He's teaching the teachings of the Buddha, not Jesus. I know people call him America's pastor, and he's a smiling pastor. Oh, he's so loving and nice. That man is deceptive, and he is leading people to hell. Reiki is part of the holistic, just stay right there. You jumped ahead, but that's okay. Reiki is part of the holistic care, and Reiki is Japanese. But it's connected to the Kundalini of India and Hinduism. So this is their website, International House of Reiki. And it says Reiki and the Kundalini spirit. So on this website it says this: the word Reiki, symbolizes a dragon, means our true self. It is the tools within the system of Reiki that teach us to tap into the power of our true self. You're going to look inside and see the Bible says our true self is we're sinners and we're going to do bad things. We're separated from God. We have a sinful heart. We have a sin nature, and we need a Savior. But no, they teach, look inside, and you're going to find something really good and divine. Kundalini, represented by the snake in Hinduism, means the power of the divine self that is hidden within humans. You see, you need to find out that you are a God. You need to get to this level of understanding where you finally look at yourself and go, like Shirley MacLaine, way back, was it in the 70s? I am God. That's what she would say. And a lot of people have said that ever since. We're not gods. You want to be a god, then you go walk on water for me, you know. You go raise the dead, and I might classify you as a god. But that ain't going to happen. Next slide, Levi. We can therefore say, this is from their website, that it is just the wording which is different. That the essence of the two, the Reiki and the Kundalini, are the essence of the two are the same. Our true self is also our divine self, and the other way around. Both the snake and the dragon come from the same source. Now, oh, I agree with that. I'll show you that here in a second. In the Indian tradition, Hinduism, Kundalini is often associated with a snake, while in the Japanese tradition is often symbolized as a dragon. In conclusion, we can say that the word Kundalini is representative of the same state as the word Reiki. Now, let me show you from Scripture what the Bible says about Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest someone somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, Satan came as a serpent. Revelation 12:9. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world? The snake and the dragon. Same source, same character. And all his angels with him, the demonic. This unique form of Reiki activates dormant Kundalini energy to support a spiritual awakening. You know what? The Bible says you must be born again. You must receive the Holy Spirit of God. But see, this is a counterfeit. This is trying to take people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ to a spiritual awakening within yourself and find that you are divine, that you are God. It's about finding peace and love. It's to release hesitation, doubts, fears, and limitations. There's 8 phases in the Kundalini healing, especially when you study the occult, Satanism, or Wicca. There are levels. The Freemasons, all these things that are occultic, there's levels to obtain more and more knowledge, secret knowledge, Gnosticism. And it's all about the more you learn, the more you open yourself up to the spiritual realm, to the demonic. Next slide, Levi. So this Reiki is an energy healing technique from a Buddhist monk about the flow of energy from the universe into you to cleanse you from the negative thoughts, actions, or feelings of yourself or for others that could cause you illness. Many even claim that employing this method is the way Jesus obtained healing power rather than attributing his power to the fact that he is God. They see, they teach when he was young, he went to India. Before his ministries in the land of Israel, he went to India and learned from the Hindu and Buddhist masters, which is a complete lie. This is what Jesus says. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You want to find peace? You want to find love? You want to be right in this life and right with God? You come Christ, your Creator, your Savior. But many people are being exposed to the demonic, to false, scary, false spiritual realm through no idea of their own or even seeking it, but they go maybe to health care and they're going to find holistic care. Maybe they're going to go to the spa, they're going to get a massage, and they're going to be introduced to the Reiki and Kundalini spirit. Yoga, I talked about this. Yoga is Hinduism. Now, yoga is getting yourself in position for the demon gods. You're presenting yourself. Hindus are mad that it's become something where Christianity definitely took it over and tried to have Christian yoga. But just that yoga is this exercise, this healthy thing. Hindu masters are mad because people are abusing it. Yoga is designed to release the Kundalini spirit in you. So this Kundalini awakening, it's everywhere. Let me show you. Next slide, go play. Mrs. Benny Hinn, passing on the anointing. He calls the Holy Spirit. This is not in Scripture, folks. This is nowhere in the Bible. He's slaying them in the Spirit. This is either being faked or it's really channeling spirits into these people. I bet it's a combination of both.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Lift your hands and receive it. It's yours too.
This is not in Scripture, folks. Oh, and he shoots it. He can shoot the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a Hindu master who's shooting the Kundalini spirit. Why should a man of God, supposedly man of God, want to mimic Hinduism? So either he was faking it, which is deception, or it's shooting spirits, but it's not the Holy Spirit. We don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls us and leads and guides us. But here we got it in our town. This is Bethel Fire Tunnel. Turn it down a little bit. So, you walk through this gauntlet of people who touch you, and they're giving you the anointing. Their Holy Spirit power is coming through them into you. And that's when you start jerking and you feel the power. But this is Hinduism. This is what they do in the occult, channeling spirits. When you lose, the Bible says believers under the Holy Spirit have self-control over your mind, your heart, your body. You're not losing it. This is doctrines of demons, as the Bible warned us in churches, major churches, have snuck in. This is nowhere in the Scriptures, folks, and this is our authority. But you see, people are going to do their own thing. They're going to scoff at the Bible. These pastors like Bill Johnson, I use that word term loosely, they're NAR, New Apostolic Reformation. I'm going to get to that here at the end. We're going to start moving fast here. But they call themselves modern-day apostles and prophets. They supersede the original apostles. But if you look in the book of Revelations and that beautiful city of God, there's 12 foundations, one for each of the 12 original apostles. How can apostles today supersede the 12? So they say they can come up with and say things that aren't in Scripture, and you need to listen to them. No, the Bible says that we have everything we need to know through the Scriptures. This is channeling of spirits. Next slide. Go. This is called being drunk in the Spirit. This is Kenneth Hagin, and he started way back in the 60s and 70s. Kenneth Copeland learned from him. A whole bunch of people learned from him. There he is right there. He's being held up, Kenneth Hagin. Uncontrollable laughter. Christianity is supposed to be unique from all the world's belief systems. Why are they making Christianity look like Hinduism? Why are they trying to do what Hindus do? Because the Bible warned us that the doctrine of demons would come into the church in the last days. People would turn aside from the truth and turn to fables.
This is in the church. There was called the Kundalini Spirit. Same spasmatic move as Hinduism.
And these are older videos. But the modern day ones that have taken over for Kenneth Copeland, Todd White, and a bunch of them, these are all over YouTube. With our new Facebook page, I'm going to start posting quite a few videos on this stuff so people will know. Transfer of power, shooting power out of you.
This is in the church. This is cult, same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Kundalini is known as also an invisible force. This is in the church.
Now, either this, some of this stuff is being faked, but some of it, you watch their bodies jerk the way they do, it looks like they've been taken over by something. And evil is real, folks. Spiritual realm is real. This is Bethel Church.
Is it okay if I lay hands on
You'll see Bill Johnson get up right there from the pew. He's going to go hold these people. She's transferring power.
I saw that there was no separation from worship in the church to the streets. Wow!
That's not in Scripture, folks. They're pulling this out of Hinduism. The occult. This next one's going to go 4 minutes, and I want you to. It's sickening. It's disgusting to me. I see the demonic laughing, but I need you to see this. So, play it. Turn it down just a little. This is called drunk in the spirit, even though the Bible says for us not to be drunk at all. They call it drunk in the spirit. You notice there's no teaching of the Word of God. There's no discipleship making. Let's just come here and act crazy under the influence of the Holy Spirit, or so they say. This lady in pink, she's shooting the Holy Spirit, and it's knocking Kenneth Copeland over. She has the power to shoot the Spirit. People are raising their hands. Is this in Scripture? How many of you guys have read the Bible? Is this in Scripture? Nowhere. Right? She keeps shooting this. She's a prophetess. Maybe even an apostle. I can't remember. But they're going to pull them up. This is their church service. I mean, if you guys want this here, how many of you guys want this? I can. Well, good. I'm sorry, that man is a false prophet, false teacher. That man, she blew on him and he went all crazy. She's shooting again her energy at the guy, his partner on the other end. So he's losing all self-control under this. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Turn it up just a little. This lady's going to come up on the stage and she's going to scream. Start screaming at everybody. Turn it up a little bit. Free people laugh. That's what she's saying. They're not free. They're under deception here. This is not Christianity. This is not the gospel. This is not discipleship. This is not loving your neighbor. This is masquerading and channeling spirits. This is leading people away from the gospel, the true gospel. He's probably the wealthiest pastor in America. That's an evil look. I'm sorry. Why are they raising their hands? This has infiltrated so many churches.
Uh-huh. Yes, I'm.
He's drunk.
He's drunk in the Holy Ghost.
Drunk in the Holy Ghost. Really? You know, when the Holy Ghost came on, the disciples, they walked out into the street. They talked in languages they did not know, but other human languages. And they preached the gospel to people, and people were saved. Nothing about rolling around, shooting the power out of their hands, getting drunk in the Spirit. This is a mockery of Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to keep my cool because I really want to go off. This is what people are flocking to. It gets worse. Spirit boards. Spirit cards. Man, we all know what Ouija boards is. When I dabbled in the cult in my young years, I got into this. This is real. You can contact real spirits through this. You're not talking to dead people. You're talking to demons who are deceiving spirits. I want you to believe you're talking to dead people. So you don't believe the Bible. The Bible says we die once and then the judgment. We don't get to hang around as ghosts. We don't get to walk around as spirits. That's got real power to it. It's not a game. But now we have angel boards. Now you can talk to angels. Tarot cards. Now we have destiny cards in the church. All sorts of cult things enter the church. False signs and lying wonders in the church. The NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. Yes, I will always speak out against this. I'm not trying to be mean because I'm not being mean. I'm exposing false churches and false pastors. Bill Johnson and Bethel Church are a false church. I have listened to hours upon hours of his teaching. It's disturbing. It's dark. It is unbiblical. Todd White back there. I just watched an episode of him yesterday, a 2-hour documentary on him from a guy that I really look up to, and he just is dark. He learned all his stuff from Kenneth Copeland, the laughing guy you just saw in the last video. This is a movement where they say they are the new apostles and the new prophets, and we need to listen to them more than we need to listen to the Word of God. Okay? They teach false things about Jesus. Everything they teach goes against this scripture. But Bill Johnson is one of the best I've ever seen. Because he's so slick. If you don't know the Word of God, you could fall for his teachings. If you know the Word of God, he's probably one of the best false teachers I've ever. Most of them are just so blatant. You know, he's just like, yeah, it's obvious. He's one of the most dangerous ones I've ever seen in my life. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs. What are they going to show, these false prophets and teachers? They're going to show great signs and wonders, wow, to deceive. If possible, even the elect, they're going to be that good at it. See, I've told you this beforehand. Jesus also said this, John 4:48, unless you see people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. You see, I have faith in just what the Word of God tells me. I have faith in the truth that Jesus died for the sins of the world. Now, we've done apologetics. We know all the evidence God has given us for our faith. But I don't need to see Jesus raised from the dead. I believe it happened. I don't need to see signs and wonders that God exists. I see it in the creation. We have faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. It's faith. It's not fancy. We're slaves. We're laborers in the field. It's not about all these glorious moments and having these great inspiration. No. Jesus came and he lived a life, a simple life, and he went and died on the cross for us. The disciples lived simple lives and they died for the gospel. We live simple lives in faith and in love. It's not about having your best life. No, it's not about signs and wonders and glory and experiencing the supernatural. It's just living your life in faith. Period. Because Jesus says, look at this, Matthew 12. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The resurrection is enough. But these people need signs and wonders. They need to feel like they're experiencing God because they really have no faith. That's why people want to go to the big shows and the big concert feel. They want to feel something because they don't feel it personally. They have no relationship with God, so they need this stuff. And there's people there to give it to them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception because they did not receive the love of the truth. They don't. The gospel's not. Jesus is not enough for them. Let me show you. Click.
And right then, I saw out of the corner of my eye just this angel feather come from literally just feeling.
All right. How gullible are we, folks, when people think that's an angel feather? If that's an angel feather and they're about this big, I mean, the Bible describes angels as pretty awesome. I mean, they have feathers, and I don't know. I don't think the Bible actually says they have feathers. Some have wings, some don't. But I would think it would be a majestic feather. That's pathetic. Plug.
And right then, I saw out of the corner of my eye just this angel feather come from literally just the ceiling. There was nothing around it, and it just like fell to the ground. Crazy. I've never seen anything like it. It was so cool.
While I was preaching, talking about the glory of God, I said the word glory. Glory came down, and this feather, about six rows back, floated left. I mean, it appeared out of nowhere. It appeared about halfway down from the ceiling to the top of somebody's head. It appeared, went left, and floated down, straight down. And then somebody...
And so it's happening tonight.
That's Bill Johnson speaking.
The church is camping around the presence.
They say the presence of God has come down into the sanctuary. The gold dust, the glory clouds. Next slide. Turn the volume down. So this is supposedly the glory of God coming into their sanctuary. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever reference God being in a glory cloud of gold dust. All right? And when people have been in the presence of God, He has ascended, what do they always do in Scripture? They fall to the ground as if dead because they're in the presence of Almighty God, all holy, and we are anything but holy. And so Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, was like, I'm a man of unclean lips, and he's down. He can't. But these people here at Bethel, presence of the Almighty God, oh, they're screaming, they're clapping like it's cool. They're videoing it. I don't think it's the presence of God. Either one, it's completely faked. If it's not faked, it's lying signs and wonders. But I think it's completely fake because I think Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin are deceivers. They put the feathers in the vents, or they put the gold dust in the vents. Next slide. But all these kids over there and young people, and a lot of older people too, they just think this is, wow, this is of God. And so they listen to their corrupt teachings. And then they take their teachings back to their churches back home. Next slide.
What I'm going to show you right now is some cosmetic grade gold glitter. It can be picked up at virtually any craft store. This happens to be Martha Stewart brand gold glitter. It's a cosmetic grade glitter. And you can see, I'm just hand holding my camera, a lot of these little pieces are hexagon shape. And that's just with a macro lens on.
Yep. Bill Johnson says that the dust was examined at the gold that fell, and it was hexagon shape. So next slide, Levi. So I got 5 minutes. I'm probably going to go over to maybe just a few minutes. I'm going to really hurry up. But the last two little things I need you guys to hear. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help people come out of deception and that you people won't fall into deception. And people you know, maybe you can help them come out. The Bible warned us this is what the church will become. Now, here's what I need you to know as we close. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Before the end, before the tribulation period, before the rapture, everything, the church is going to, people are going to start falling away from the truth. With everything else the Bible has told us, there's going to be sin, there's going to be corruption, there's going to be doctrines of demons. Then they're going to fall away from the truth and fall away from churches that are trying to preach the truth. Bethel is at the epicenter of this movement, pulling people away from solid Bible churches into this deception. Play the next one. This is over in England. This is Jan Markell, Understanding the Times, a staff member, a pastor on Jan Markell's staff. Go ahead and play. Click.
Well, welcome to Understanding Our Times. I'm in Ayr, Scotland at the Prophecy Conference, and I've met some amazing people here. Folks, you can't believe what's happening here. It is absolutely unbelievable, absolutely amazing. We're hearing from people from all over the UK that the church is dead. But it really isn't, because the remnant isn't dead. And I'm here with some remnant believers. And I met some new friends. Tell us your name, will you?
I'm Wendy.
Wendy, where are you from?
Aberdeenshire.
Okay. So we were talking earlier, and you told me that you had to leave a church. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had to leave a church because of the teachings, things like the Passion Translation, Bethel-led teaching, things like that, and just not really willing to listen to correction or reason or...
So they weren't teaching the full counsel of God.
Absolutely.
So this
motivational.
Exactly, yeah. False teachings,
false doctrines. Teachings of Bethel. Bethel's teachings have gone around the world. Bethel has taught, Bill Johnson has taught his kids, people to infiltrate churches. Sends them back home to infiltrate their own churches or others. There's been three attempts of Bethel trying to infiltrate this church. Bill Johnson wants to bring all the churches under Bethel here in town. This is real. A lot of people say, oh, I'm just being mean. Fine. You want to think I'm just being mean? That's fine. But I'm not. I'm being honest and truthful. This is deception. This is spiritual warfare. This is what the Bible warned us about. We're living in those days, folks. Last thing real quick, play.
And you're going to hear from some people that are at the conference that are saying the church in Europe is dead. I mean, literally, there's no one really teaching Bible prophecy. There's really just the remnant left. I mean, is that what you're hearing also?
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at the statistics in the UK, 4% of people attend church, right?
Right,
okay.
Right.
And so of that 4%, what do you have for... A tenth of that would be people interested in prophecy.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I don't know if you can get a better demographic or number than of what dead looks like than that.
Right. And what the warning is from these people is, you wait, it's coming to America. And I'm telling them, it's already in America. I mean, it's sad to see where the church worldwide, but especially we always thought that the church is always going to be solid in America. And we're seeing all the replacement theology and the NAR and all that. I mean, it's just sad to see what's happening to the church.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt, and this is the interesting, in America, we have more than 4% church attendance problem. But that's irrelevant. It's people are going to church, but the liberal churches that are in name only, social gospel. I mean, so that, what does that really matter? It means nothing. So it really is an indictment on we're following right along in the same way.
I couldn't agree more. So we just had an election, and Donald Trump was reelected president. And when I was talking to Pastor Billy, it was like everyone's so enthusiastic, or half the country at least is very enthusiastic. They're, and I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about the church, that they're all on board with Trump. They're wearing the T-shirts and the hats, and they're thinking, "Man, we're going back. We're gonna get America back to where it was." And I'm even talking to friends that are Christians. They think that this is going to turn around, and we're going to get America back to the way it was maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago. What's your take on that?
Well, I have a phrase that I say often is that we are never going back to Mayberry.
Right.
You know, it's just not going to happen. And so Mayberry is in the 50s, but are we going to go back to 10, 20 years ago? And the thing that's interesting to me is, and again, I have nothing, you know, necessarily. I don't like really get in the politics part of it. That's irrelevant to me. But when we think about Make America Great Again, what's the definition of great? And typically, what people voted for this time was economic greatness, which is, it's reasonable. I mean, people want to have, they want to be prosperous. Nothing wrong with that. But to me, for America to be great again, would be church attendance at 80-90% in solid churches that are teaching the Bible, they're teaching repentance, they're teaching following God in a way, they're teaching separation from the world. That would be great.
Exactly.
But are we going back to that?
Doesn't look like it does.
I don't.
I mean, you look at what happened after 9/11. I mean, the churches were packed.
Exactly.
I mean, what was that, 23 years ago? Yeah. And look where the churches are now. You can hardly fill half a church now, unless it's with the prosperity gospel.
Well, the prosperity gospel or all the deception, it's hard to even fill half a church nowadays. Right? I agree with that. 4% in Europe go to church, 10% of that 4% are actually in a biblical church. The rest are in false churches. Same thing for us, folks. Today, there are more false churches in America than true churches. Seeker-sensitive, prosperity, NAR, hyper-charismatic, social justice, compromising, dead churches, occult churches, gay churches, and it goes on. And then you have the churches that believe in this. And they teach a simple faith of discipleship and service to God through the Great Commission. It's dark out there. The Bible warned us this would be towards the end. Come on up, team. We're done. We're coming. But we got to end on some good stuff. I cannot end on negative, dark stuff. So I want to show you something great from Scripture, really good for us today. Revelation chapter 3. This section is called the faithful church. God says to the church, Jesus says to this church, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You're not big. Of the seven churches listed in Scripture, five of them God told to repent from their wicked ways. Two churches, the persecuted church and the faithful church. He says, you have little strength. You're not going to be big. You're not big. But I've set an open door before you. You see, we may not be a huge church here in this town. We're nothing compared to Bethel. But we have an open door by God to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, one at a time. Why? Why has he opened a door for us and we have little strength? Because we have kept his word. This is our authority, folks. I'm not the authority. But I have the authority by God to teach this. This is the authority. Jesus is the word that became flesh. You have kept my word and not denied my name, because you have kept my command to persevere. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who are on the earth. And that's what I'll be talking about. The final prophecy update next week is the rapture. Give me 4 more minutes. We have to end with this song. It's a beautiful song. It's dark. We have great hope. I want you to see what's truly happening in churches and the darkness and why it's so important for us to stand in our armor, in Christ, and help people find the truth. And why this little church is so important in this town. There's not many churches in this town bringing the truth anymore. We need to. We need to. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I ask you to help those that saw what they saw today to understand what they saw, to understand the doctrines of demons that have crept into churches, into our medical health care system. Lord, the enemy is moving, and we don't have to fear that. You've given us the armor, which is you, to stand in. Stand in the evil day and do everything we possibly can to stand. So, Lord, I ask you to help us to do exactly that, to be your church here in Reading, even at the epicenter of the doctrine of demons coming out of Bethel. I ask you to help us stand and give a good account of who you are in the truth. and the love you have for everybody, even Bill Johnson, if he would repent. Lord, I just ask you to help us to be that church, a solid, faithful church that keeps your word and perseveres right here. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, let's sing this last song. We'll be out of here, I promise. It's a good song to end on, though, real good. This song will be playing through your head all week. Folks, thank you for your grace that you showed me once again. If you're visiting with us today, I rarely ever go over. Thank you for your grace this morning. So important. that we be his team, a real team, folks. We're not playing church. We're not attending church. We are the church. And we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. When we need to go out there and be salt and light, we need to help people find him. We've been freely we receive, freely we give. Let's go love people and love our Lord by being salt and light. Let's go be the church. Let's go be his team. He is the captain. He captain of our salvation and the captain of our team. Let's go give it our best for him. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.